Hadi, Chag Sameach, and happy feast to everybody. Praise Yahweh. So, wow, what an important Shavuot. I pray that everybody has been praying for this Shavuot and for Yahweh's Spirit. We just finished a couple weeks ago an amazing school program, and then last week being in Mount Sinai and just amazing time over the last 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks. So I want to talk today, since it's Shavuot, and Shavuot is the giving of the Ruach and the work of Yahweh starting on that. And I want to the name of this message is the work of Yahweh in the latter rain, because here we are, we're in the latter rain, and I've been saying since 2015, before the last Shemitah started, that the second Shavuot had started. I felt it for a while, and then as brethren and elders in congregations around the world, and I could really see from that time now, it's been now just about 10 years we've had our kibbutzes or communities, and how I really see the Spirit in Yahweh growing. And a matter of fact, this last school program, I can say out of 20 years of doing school programs, that it was the most focused, the most faith-filled. We saw some miracles and healings while we were there. And boy, what a time for a message like this. So let's start in Acts 2. Let's go to that first Shavuot after Yeshua's resurrection and bring us up to today. It says, and in the fulfilling of the day of Shavuot, right? Why in the fulfilling? Because you have to count. That's why it's the only holy day. Every other holy day on the 14th day of the first month is Passover. On the 15th day to the 21st is unleavened bread. You know, in the 7th month, the first day of the 7th month is Yom Teruah. The 15th day of the 7th month is Feast of Sukkot. The only day that doesn't have a number to it, a specific day, is Shavuot, because you have to count. That's why the word Pentecost, the Greek word for Shavuot, means count 50. And why do you have to count? Because the count starts not after the holy day, because if the count started after the holy day during unleavened bread, then it would be an easy count, right? It would be Sivan 6, the way that the Jewish people do it today. They did not do it like that in the first century. In the first century, they did keep Shavuot on the first day of the week. But since so many people were coming to faith because of Yeshua being the wave sheaf and the count starting on the morrow after the weekly Sabbath, like it says in Scripture, they changed it. They changed the count to the holy day instead of the weekly Sabbath. So here we are, and if the 14th day of the month, the Passover, is on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or whatever, that will push the day of the month. So it's not, you can't count it every year. It will be different, but you have to fulfill it. Meaningly, you have to count 7 weeks from the morrow after the Sabbath during unleavened bread. So that's why it says, in the fulfilling of the day of Shavuot, they were all with one mind in the same place. So this is why also Shavuot isn't just to be celebrated, but it's to be fulfilled, right? In the fulfilling of it, we are fulfilling that. Today, as Yahweh's Spirit is growing in His people, we are fulfilling the second Shavuot. Just like in Ezekiel 9, it talks about a second Passover coming, where the death angel is going to come and people are going to die. Here it is, the second outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit, which we're actually living in. We're living in and we're living proof of it. And it says, and suddenly a sound came out of the heaven as a groaning spirit along by a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire appeared to them, being distributed, and sat on each one of them. Wow. And they were filled of the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave ability for them to speak. And Jews were living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation of those under the heaven. And when that sound occurred, all the people gathered and were perplexed, because they were hearing each man among them who were speaking in their own language, right? So this isn't some kind of gibberish. It's not some kind of nonsense. It's not someone falling on the ground and barking like a dog or anything else. This is people speaking in real languages, right? And why would you need this? Because here it was, Yeshua told them, don't go the way of the Gentiles, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And at the time, the Israelites were in the diaspora, for more than 700 years, and they didn't speak Hebrew anymore, or Aramaic for that matter, in most of these areas. So these 12 fishermen had to go all over the world to Greek-speaking, Roman-speaking, Persian-speaking, all kinds of areas, and they didn't speak the languages. So of course Yahweh would have to give that gift today. I've seen the gift today in Israel before, where people all of a sudden were able to speak Hebrew or another language, and it's not gibberish. It is not gibberish, it's a real language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, we can't grasp this. Are not all those speaking Galileans? And how do we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" Right? So in this case, it's the hearing. I've also had this miracle happen one time in Kenya years ago, where I gave a sermon completely in English, and a man got up afterwards that did not speak a word of English. He raised his hand, was speaking in the local dialect, Swahili, and he said, "Everything Elder Don said is true because I don't speak a word of English, and I heard it all in our language." So, also, that gift is here today. And how do we each hear in our own language which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and those living in Mesopotamia, both Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, both Phygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, in regions of Libya over against Cyrene, and the temporary residing Romans, both Jews and proselytes. Cretans and Arabians, in our own language, we hear them speaking the great wonders of Elohim, right? In their own language, they heard them speaking, like I said, not some kind of gibberish that is demonic that you see today in some of these Pentecostal churches. All were amazed and puzzled, saying to one another, "What could this be?" But ridiculing others said, "They are full of sweet wine." So wow, here it is, Yahweh doing one of the very first major miracles in the New Covenant, right? Because this is right after Yeshua's ascension up to heaven. And what happens? As the Holy Spirit is coming down, literally coming down on these people, literally the Holy Spirit is being given to these people that were already baptized, right? They were baptized with Yeshua, but they didn't receive the Ruach HaKodesh yet. And they're getting it here on this day of Shavuot. And yet, here's others, you know, the wheat and the chaff, right? Here's others that are saying, "Oh, there's full of sweet wine." So we see the same thing today. There's people out there that are not getting the Holy Spirit, and they're not speaking Yahweh's language of love, but yet they're just speaking gossip, and they're speaking maligning, and they're speaking of talking bad about everything that's good. And these are the people that Yeshua talks about will go to the lake of fire, you know, the wheat and the chaff, as we're going to see a little later in the message. So they're ridiculing, right? Totally blinded to what Yahweh is doing, the same as we see today. And you see it with almost everything. You see it in politics. You see it in health, right, with the vaccine. You see it today that we are living in two totally, you know, opposite worlds. One world that has only truth and the right things, and one world which people are completely deceived and under, you know, their G-O-D, who is Satan the devil. But standing up with the 11, Peter lifted his voice and spoke to them. "Men, Jews, and all those living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. For these are not drunk as you imagine, for it's the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is that which was been spoken by the prophet Joel." We're going to read that in a minute. "And it shall be in the last days, Yahweh says, I will pour my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and old men shall dream dreams." And we've seen a lot of this also going on in our congregations over the last couple of years. "And also I will pour out my spirit on my servants and handmaids in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will give wonders in the heaven above and miraculous signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and great and glorious day of Yahweh," that day that's coming soon, "his wrath on an unsuspecting evil world that has broken his covenant. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved," right? That is the name that we have to call on. That is the name that Yeshua left the congregation in. That is the reason why we use that name. So, amazing. This was a shadow to the second Shavuot that we are seeing now, that's being poured out in these last days. Pouring of Yahweh's Spirit in the end time. Let's go to Yoel 2. Yoel 2. And start in verse 23, because that's what he's quoting there. And that was the beginning of that, right? It was the beginning of it, but this is clearly for end times. This is clearly for our times. So they may have seen a shadow of that then, but now it's the end time where we're seeing the fulfillment. Yoel 2 and verse 23 says, "Then be glad, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he has given to you the early rain according to righteousness, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month," right? So the early rain was the apostles. We are living now in the latter rain. The latter rain meaning the latter outpouring of his spirit. "And the floors will be full with grain, and wine vats will overflow with wine and oil." Wow. And you look today, right, at the prices of these things. Look at the price of food going up, and particularly oil. It's amazing that before the Shemitah, a 4-liter jar of oil that we were paying about $15 for is now $54 in just 2 years. And we still have some. Praise Yahweh for that. But can you imagine? And Yahweh's saying he is going to fill these vats, right? And the wine is for what? The wine is for happiness. The wine is for joy. And he's saying you're going to have that. "And I will restore to you the years which the swarming locusts have eaten, the locust larvae, the stripping locust, the cutting locust, my great army which I sent among you." And here we are. We're in the year of the locust. This is the cicadas, right? This is actually this year, because there's a 17-year cycle and a 13-year cycle, and this is the year where both those cycles come together. This only happens every like 200 and something years. It hasn't happened since the 1800s, and it's happening right now as I'm speaking. "And you shall eat fully and be satisfied, and you shall praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall not be ashamed forever. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am Yahweh your Elohim, and there is no other, and my people shall not be ashamed forever. And it will be afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, the young men will see visions," just like we just read in Acts 2. "And I will pour my spirit on the slaves and on the slave girls in those days. And I will give signs in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke," right? Talking about nuclear war even coming. "The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood," right? Blood moons, we're already seeing them. We already seen these eclipses that are coming. The great eclipse that came across America just a little while ago, just last month actually, before the coming in the great and awesome day of Yahweh, or 2 months ago. "For it shall be all who shall call on the name of Yahweh will be saved, for salvation shall be in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh will call." That's where salvation is. Salvation is only with the people of Yahweh, because everybody else is taking the mark of the beast. Everybody else is part of the system of Satan. They're willing participants of it. And they look at us and they just have hate and venom, just like the Bible says, because they're not part of the kingdom of Yahweh. They're part of the system of Satan. But this is the latter rain in the end time. So the first was a shadow, and now we're seeing the real end time latter rain that's coming out, and we're living in it, we're seeing it. I can't tell you, since the Shemitah ended, how much our congregations have been growing, how many people are joining, how even full congregations with pastors that were Christian and whatnot are turning and coming to the faith and coming to the truth, and our elders can't keep up with it. So praise Yahweh for this, the baptisms that we're doing, and the people that are coming to faith. It's just absolutely amazing. So just to give you a little bit with latter rain and early rain, because depending on where you're living, you might not understand this. But years back in a little place near the airport called Gezer, they found a stone that had the Gezer calendar, which is the same calendar that King Solomon had. And in that calendar, it's very interesting because it shows where the growing season, the agricultural season, as we know, with the Shemitah, starts in the fall. The biblical calendar, right, starts in Aviv, which is the spring. And we're in the third month now of the biblical calendar. But the agricultural calendar starts in the fall. And that's why with Shemitah starts when? What does it tell us? It starts the first day of the seventh month. That's when the Shemitah starts. When does the Jubilee start? Yom Kippur, the 10th day of the seventh month, starts the Jubilee. And this is because of the Gezer calendar. The Gezer calendar shows that the planting starts in late October, early November. So that's when you're planting, and that's where you really have to pray for the early rain. Because if you don't have any rain, in some years there's no rain. There's no rain in October, November, even into half of December. You won't get any rain. And if there's no rain, what's going to happen? Those seeds are going to be eaten by birds. They're going to blow away. There'll be nothing there to germinate once the rain starts coming. Then you have the rainy season, which starts like late December all the way through January, February, right? And that's where you're going to get. So if you get your early rain that comes, and Yahweh blesses with the early rain, and then the regular rain comes, the winter rain, now you have some good plants that are there. And by the time March rolls around, what's happening? Your plants are coming to fruition. But if you don't get the latter rain, and there's years where you will get no rain from like the end of February all the way through, that'll be the end of the rain, and those plants will not come to fruition. So you need the early rain, like the apostles had, and now you need the latter rain from us to make it come to fruition. And this is what it's talking about. That latter rain, that's what we're praying for. And that's the rain March, early April. And that's the rain to make the whether it's the barley or whatever, the harvest, you know, the grain, to bring it to fruition in the end time. So without the early rain and without the latter rain, you're not going to get your harvest of fruits. The first Shavuot was the early rain of the Holy Spirit to take root. Now is the latter rain to bring the body of Messiah to completion. This is to mature us, to bring us to fruition. And like I said, wow, I can't believe this new program that I did at the Bible school this year, first time I ever did this program, based on this, you know, to bring it to fruition and how the people responded to it. And like I said, nobody left there the same person that they came. And I really hope that Yahweh will bless that, and I'm praying for a way to bring this to more brethren, but you got to be in the right environment. If you're not in the right environment, even with this, with the early rain, the latter rain, it doesn't work. So Galatians 5 and verse 22. So let's talk about this. What do we need for this latter rain? Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's a big one. Against such things, there is no instruction, right? So there's nothing in the Bible against any of those things, only for them. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. So the only way this is going to happen is, it's not a magic pill that you're going to take. Even you could come to a school for a year, you know, and it's not going to do anything if you're not surrendering your will to Yahweh. You've got to come with an open heart. You have to be willing to look in your heart and see where you need to change, and change. Not just see it, but you need to change. And this is what it's talking about. And the way you can tell if you're changing is, how much are those nine fruits in your life? How much love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control do you have in your life? And if you don't have it, then you're not changing. You know, you're just part of the world. So you have to produce fruit in your life before we can expect the gift of Yahweh. You have to get the fruit before the gifts. The gifts are an extension of the fruit. So how much these nine fruits are in your life is going to be how much the gifts that are in Corinthians 12 are going to be in your life. John 5 and verse 17 says, but Yeshua answered them, my Father works until now and I work. My Father works until now and I work. Yahweh works and Yeshua works, and now it's time for us to work, right? Yahweh's been giving us some major spiritual training all the way from COVID. You know, COVID came out of the blue and people locked in the houses, like I said, for several years, all the things that went on, not being able to go out and buy and sell. And Yahweh really showed us the time is short. The mark of the beast, the technology is already here, and it's just a short matter of time before this is brought over the whole world. They just announced this past week, the first time in whatever it is, like 70 years, that the petrodollar, Saudi Arabia is not going to use the petrodollar anymore, and they're going to use the digital currency for collecting money for the oil. That basically bankrupts the U.S. dollar. So, wow. And I think I announced this before, that come this October, the BRICS are also coming out with their own currency. So we see the death to Babylon already. All the handwriting is on the wall. And when Babylon goes, so does the world. It'll come with war. It'll come with economic problems or economic crash. And then this new system is going to come up. Brand new world government, brand new, you know, digital currency. And we're there. We're there. And that's why Yahweh has given this short door now to his people. And he's saying, go and work. Go and work. You know, get your plan of action. Get your ministry. And make that. Because for these few short days now that we put in 110% to Yahweh, he's given us a reward for eternity. Can you imagine? You can't get a better deal than that. I mean, for a few short little days and years that we're going to do this hard work now, Yahweh is saying he's going to give us for eternity. So Yeshua works, Yahweh works, and now it's time for us to work. Daniel 11 and verse 22. Daniel 11 and verse 22. And I don't know if you could tell, but I'm motivated. I am motivated. I am big time motivated. I feel like my faith has been renewed, and I am ready to go out there and do 1,000% of the work of Yahweh, because like I said, this open door he's given us now, it's going to be short, it's going to be quick, it's going to be powerful. His spirit is going to be there, miracles as we're already starting to see, but it's not going to last very long. So we have to take advantage of it now. Think about those days when COVID came and you were locked in your house, you know, and couldn't even go out and buy food or whatever. And those days are coming soon. So you've got to go out and work while you've got the time now. Daniel 11 and verse 22, look what it says about the times we're living in now. Daniel 11 and verse 22. Or 32, I'm sorry. And he will defile by flatteries those who do evil against the covenant. But the people who know their Elohim will be strong and will work. The people who know their Elohim will be strong and will work. And those who understand among the people will instruct many. Yet they will stumble by the sword and by flame, by exile and spoil for days. The underground congregation is here. And when they shall stumble, they will be helped with a little help. But many will join them in hypocrisy. And that's where you're getting. Remember in the end time? We're talking about Matthew 22. Go in the byways and highways, bring in the good and the bad. And we already see it. There's people that join us that really Yahweh is calling. And then there's the chaff, people that join just for ulterior motives. And many of those who understand will stumble to refine and to purge them and to make white for the time of the end, for it is yet for the appointed time. So this is where we're at now. Yahweh has opened up this door. And it's time to go out and to work. And to work. And what else is coming soon? Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Because which one of the next things that will be coming up in the short distance future here? Revelation 11 verse 3. And I will give my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Elohim of all the earth. And I said before, I believe the two witnesses are Michael and Gabriel, the two arch cherubs. And if anyone desires to harm them, fire comes out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone desires to harm them, he must in this manner be killed. So no human being has fire coming out of their mouth. That never happened to Eliyahu. That never happened to Moses. That never happened to any human being. So these clearly are not normal human beings. I have a message on this online proving who they are. These have the authority to shut up the heaven, and no rain may rain in the days of their prophecy, and they have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike earth with every plague as often as they desire. So not even Moses had that. Moses was told what plagues to give, but because these are arch cherubs and they have the discipline, the self-control, they're given to do that at any time. So the two witnesses coming soon give to the world, and I have heard since the war in Gaza, I have heard, I am not able to confirm this, so I'm saying this with a grain of salt right now, but I have heard two reports that people and even soldiers in Gaza have seen the Archangel Michael. So again, I'm saying that with a grain of salt because it's not been confirmed, but if that is true, then wow, this can be closer than anybody even thinks. You got to get your life together. You really got to get your life together. Let's go to Haggai. Haggai shows the same thing. Haggai 1, 13 and 14. Haggai 1, 13 and 14. As we are living in the days of restoration, where Yahweh is restoring all things. You know, we just came back from Mount Sinai, and wow, what a trip over there. What an amazing trip. And I can't tell you how many new things they're finding there that are proving it. They now have what could be the Rosetta Stone of Mount Sinai showing the whole trip. And all this stuff will be coming out shortly. But boy, you can't believe. We were the first group to see many of these new findings there. And it's double or triple of what they had before. So it is absolutely amazing the things that they're finding. Haggai 1, 13 and 14, look what it says. And Haggai, the messenger of Yahweh, spoke the message of Yahweh to the people saying, I am with you, says Yahweh, right? He is with us in this time now. So we don't have to fear New World Order. We don't have to fear digital currencies and all this other stuff because Yahweh is with us. You know what we need to do? We need to stay separate from the world and we need to let His Spirit grow in us. We need to build the faith for salvation that we need. And fear, like I said, false evidence appearing real, there is no fear in the true faith and belief in Yahweh. And Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Yehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, right? So who are these? I'm not going to go there, but Zechariah 4 talks about these two sons of fresh oil, right? These are the two witnesses. So these are the two witnesses. And at this time, when Yahweh says to his congregation, I am with you, the two witnesses are there, right? And Yahweh's stirring it up. And look, who else is there? Besides Zerubbabel and Yehoshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. So the remnant of the people, the end time remnant, the first fruits are there. And what are they working on? They're working on the house of Yahweh of hosts. Matthew 24 and verse 14. What is that work they're working on? And this good news of the kingdom will be published in all the earth for a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. This good news is. So here it is. Yahweh has called you to be a part of this. Yahweh hasn't called you for just your own personal salvation. Yahweh hasn't called you just to sit in a corner and to do your own thing. He's called you to be part of this end time work. It's a collective work that we're all doing together. This Hebrew Roots Bible is a part of prophecy and part of this end time restoration work, because this is the closest Bible to the original Hebrew and the only Bible that I know of that's in the right book order. The original book order that is from Scripture. So Yahweh is calling all of us to be part of this, to bring this good news message, right? And he's saying, and with the two witnesses and the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of Yahweh, and that's the work we're to do, to bring this good news message into all the earth, and then the end will come. Are we holding back the work of Yahweh or the return of Yeshua by not doing that? Haggai 2, and then look what it says in Haggai 2 about the latter house, the glory of this latter house. In the seventh month, in the 21st of the month, so this is the last day of Sukkot, the word of Yahweh was by Haggai the prophet saying, now speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Yehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. So here again, the two witnesses are there, and also the remnant of the people, because we all are part of the same ministry. We're all Ikad, we're all on the same team. We're all trying to finish the work. The two witnesses go out, and they witness to the world leaders, and they witness to the world of the coming judgment for breaking the Yahweh's everlasting covenant. I went over that in the last message in Isaiah 24. But now the remnant of the people, we're here preaching the good news message about repentance of sin and only forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Yeshua, the only Son of Yahweh. Who is left among you who saw this house in her former glory? And how do you see it now when compared to it? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? And I think about this because when I came to truth 40 years ago, right? At that time, in the congregation, there was more than 100,000 people. They were bringing in more than $200 million a year. They had TV all over the world. They had more than 150,000 people just at the feast sites around the world. And he's saying, who is left who saw this house in the former glory, and how do you see it now? When compared to it, is it nothing in your eyes? And what are we now? We're nothing. We're a blip. We're tiny little scattered believers around the world, right? Some in persecuted countries that I can't even mention where they are for the safety of the people. He says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says Yahweh. And be strong, O Yehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong and work. Be strong and work. This is the time for us to work. All people of the land, says Yahweh, for I am with you, declares Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh against the world, he is saying he's against them. The ones who are rebellious, the ones that are part of the system, the ones who are there with their vaccine and the mark of the beast, Yahweh is saying he is against them. But who is he with? He's with his remnant. He's with his end time people. And that's why I'm telling the brethren, I've told them at the Bible school, it was amazing. The last few days of the school, we had four or five people that got rid of their stupid smartphones. One fella took it and threw it over the mountain and just smashed it. But people realizing this is part of the Mark of the Beast technology. You're on one side or the other, and you better make a decision now. You better make a decision. Are you on the side of Yahweh, or are you on the side of Satan? What is it? It's like when Moses was up the mountain, right? And there it was, he came, and they're building that golden calf and doing all that stuff. And we saw that just last week. We saw the actual altar that was built there and the carvings of the cows on that altar. But what did Moses say? Those on Yahweh's side come to me. And that's what Yahweh is saying right now. He's saying those that are on his side come to his side. And those on the other side leave it off. What does the wheat have to do with the chaff, right? What does the wheat have to do with the chaff? So you got to make a decision in your life. Are you going to stay in Satan society? Are you going to work in Satan society and have all the gadgets in Satan society and all the QR codes and all the other things? Or are you going to separate yourself? And that's what the message is here today. Because the work of Yahweh is going to go on, and Yahweh is with us. And we can go out there with boldness and say that because Yahweh's word is saying it. But like I said, it's going to be a short work. It's going to be a short one. So there's no time to think about this for 6 months to a year. It might be over by then. We have no idea how this short window is going to be open. It could be a few months. It could be a couple of years. But Yahweh says the door is open now. He is with us. And now is the time to work. Get your plan of action together and start to work today. So he says, I am with you, declares Yahweh, with the word by whom I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit stands among you. Do not fear, right? Have faith. There is not 99% faith and 1% fear, because in that case, you have 100% fear. It's either 100% belief in Yahweh or none. For so says Yahweh of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says Yahweh of hosts, right? He's coming and he's angry. He's coming and he's mad. He's coming to destroy all of these nations that are fighting against him. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says Yahweh of hosts, right? And that's why they're going to digital currency. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, shalom, says Yahweh of hosts. So here it is, right? The glory of this latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Think about the glory in the first century. We were just reading Acts 2. Think about that. Tongues of fire on these people. The miracles that are being done. That it says even by the shadow of Peter, somebody was healed. And Yahweh says the glory of this house will be greater than that. This end time, the 144,000 we haven't even begun to see. Although we start to see some miracles that are happening. But it is amazing what Yahweh has planned for those who love him. And that those who are willing to work. So the latter house glory will be greater than the former. And what is that latter house? John 2 and verse 18. Then the Jews answered and said to him, to Yeshua, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Yeshua answered him, tear down this sanctuary, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, this sanctuary was 46 years being built, and do you raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke about the sanctuary of his body. That's the sanctuary that Yahweh's talking about here in Haggai, the sanctuary of his body. And that's what he says, that he will build up. Here we are. We have not money, we don't have finances, we don't have buildings, we don't have headquarters, we don't have all these things, right? Millions of dollars to put on TV. We don't need it. Because the work of Yahweh, like the first century, 2x2, 1x1. 2x2, 1x1, and that's the way it's going out. And where is it growing the most? It's growing in Africa. It's growing in Asia, right? It's growing in all the places, third world places, where people are willing to go out and bring this good news. And it's growing like wildfire. It's growing like wildfire. The glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this place I will give shalom, says Yahweh of hosts. Wow. So this is amazing. We are that house. We have to surrender to Yahweh's ruach daily and be putting on the mind of Messiah. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. So it's got to be something you're consciously doing every day. And the only way to do this is coming out of the world. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 says, "For though we do live in earthly life, we do not serve worldly things." That's a powerful scripture. For though we do live a earthly life, we are human beings, right, on this earth, made of the earth, yet we do not serve worldly things, right? And this is what you have to decide now. You're going to have to decide, what are the worldly things in your life that you need to get rid of? And you're going to have to make those hard choices. We had a, after we went to Lot's cave, you know, where his wife looked back because she didn't want to give those worldly things up. And I have a message on it I'll put online soon. And we made a bucket called the Pillar of Salt Dump. And each person put in there, you know, what was their pillar of salt in their life. It was powerful. And then we took it out to the dump and got rid of it. But what is that pillar of salt in your life that you need to get rid of, right? So although we live in earthly life, we do not serve worldly things. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but of the power of Yahweh to the demolition of strongholds. What is the stronghold in your life? Is it greed? Is it lust? Is it covetousness? Right? Whatever that stronghold is, it can be broken. You know, Yeshua became a curse for all curses in our life to be broken. And if we rely on Him and surrender to Him, and we repent of our sins, He's willing to forgive us. Casting down imaginations and every false thing, lifting up itself against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. That is a powerful scripture. Casting down imaginations and every false thing, lifting up itself against the knowledge of Elohim. And that's everywhere. Everywhere from, like I said, health, COVID, politics, all of it, everything is fake news. But it's casting it all down and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. Wow. That takes it takes a lot of surrender. You have to surrender the things in the world if you're going to do this. But it's completely possible if you're willing to get rid of those things in the world. If we want the rock to fill us, we must surrender every thought to the obedience of Messiah. John 15. In verse 18. It says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you," right? So this is why, like I said, when COVID came and we didn't want to take that poison vaccine and all these fake news things came out and said people like us should die, we shouldn't be able to go to hospitals, they should let us die. The world hates us. When you bring the truth of Yahweh, the world is going to hate you. You know why? Because Satan is the God of this world. And he's the one that they worship. So, because the world hated Yeshua first, they're going to hate us. Because the world loves its own. But because we're not of the world, and he chose us out of the world, because of this, the world hates us. So the more you're coming out of the world, the more it's going to hate you. And you have to decide, which world do you want to live in? Do you want to live in the kingdom of Yahweh? Do you want to live in eternity, or do you want to live in time? Because time is going to end pretty soon. There's a point pretty soon where there'll be time no more. So if you're living in time, that means you're not going to exist. But if you're living in eternity, that means you'll live forever. That you will be in the eternal presence of Yahweh absolutely forever. So the world hates us because we are of the truth and have the spirit of Yeshua. And the world is of the system of the devil. John 14 and verse 15. Yeshua says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will petition the Father, and he will give you another one which will end the curse, that he may remain with you forever." Talking about the Ruach HaKodesh. "The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." And if you're baptized, it's already in you. Right? This is why the world falls for all of the shenanigans of Satan, because they don't have Yahweh's Ruach. They don't have his Spirit of Truth. And praise him for that every day, that you have eyes to see and ears to hear of Yahweh's truth, because the world is just getting worse and worse. And they're being brainwashed. They're being brainwashed and they're, you know, by the brainwashing of all of this technology and Elon Musk with his brain tattoos and all this other stuff, it's going to get much worse before it gets better. But if we are obedient, Yahweh will pour out his Spirit on us And the Spirit will lead us into all truth. Jacob 5 actually talks about these evil end time New World Order people. And I don't know if you heard in the last couple of weeks that Klaus Schwab, the leader of the World Economic Forum, he's retiring, if you can believe it or not. So I have a feeling there's something up with that. It must mean there's something else coming big if he's ready to step down, but we will see about that. So let's read about these people. Let's read about Klaus Schwab and these end-time globalists. Jacob 5 says, "Come now, rich ones, weep, howl over your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and the rust of them will be a testimony against you. And it will eat your flesh. The treasures that you have heaped together shall be as fire to you for the latter days. Behold, the wages of the workmen who have reaped your fields cry out, being kept back by you, and the cries of the ones who are reaped have entered into the ears of Yahweh of Sabaoth, Yahweh of hosts. You live luxuriously on the earth and live for self-pleasure. You nourished your bodies for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous, and yet he does not resist you." So here it is, right? These rich people that have billions and billions and even trillions of dollars, and yet these poor people in third world countries are working for $5 a week or less. Can you imagine that? I mean, it is utterly insane to think how these people have enslaved the world, right? And okay, if it's capitalism, if they're putting out money and they're making millions or billions of dollars, so be it. But at least give fair wages to the people that are doing all the work. And they don't. Like I said, in Kenya, you get these ladies out there with the babies on their back. They're picking tea all day long. And what do they get? 30 cents a basket? You know? They're lucky if they can do 3 or 4 baskets in a day. If that, if they're working for 10 or 12 hours and they're making 30 cents a basket while these people are making millions and billions of dollars, and Yahweh is not happy with it. Verse 7, it says, "Therefore, brothers, be patient until the coming of Yahweh." So we have to be patient because Yahweh is going to deal with these people, and Yahweh is going to bring retribution with him. "Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it may receive the early and the latter rain." Right? That's what we're waiting for now. This is what we're in, the latter rain. "You also be patient. Set your hearts firmly, because the coming of our Master has drawn near." And we are getting close. We're getting close. It's no more 50 years or even 20 years, but it's just a few short years until Yeshua will be here. And these evil people that have oppressed the world and have done so much harm and killed so many people, Yeshua is going to come and take care of them. So we must be patient as the latter rain is being poured out, and then judgment will come to the world. Hosea 6, 1-7. He says, "Come and let us return to Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has struck and he will bind us up," right? Restoration. "After 2 days he will bring us to life. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live before him." So the resurrection was on the third day, but also Yeshua came in the 4,000th year, you know, of creation since Adam, and now there's been 2 more days. A day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day, and now we're getting ready to go into the 7th millennium or the 7th day. So that's why it says after 2 days from Yeshua's resurrection, there's been 2 millenniums or 2 days or 2,000 years. He says, "Then we shall know, we who follow on to know Yahweh," Aleph Tav Yahweh. "His going forth is established as the dawn, and he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and former rain to the earth," right? That's what he's bringing, and that's the time we're in. And that's why Yahweh has given us this window of opportunity. That's why he's blessing us, and that's why we got to go out and work. "Oh, Ephraim, what shall I do to you? Oh, Judah, what shall I do to you? For your goodness is like a morning cloud, and it goes away like the early dew. So I have honed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And your judgments have been as the light that goes forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. They have acted like traitors against me there." Wow. And that's what the world has done. That's why Yahweh is coming back with retribution. Verse 11 says, also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed to you when I return the captivity of my people. So we know that's the ministry, going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we also know that Judah also will turn back to the truth in the end. Right now, they're the only tribe not in the new covenant. But that will change when Yeshua returns. Amos 4, 7 and 8. Amos 4, 7 and 8. He says, and I have also withheld the rain from you when it was yet 3 months of the harvest. And I caused rain to fall in one city and caused it not to fall in another city. One piece was rained on, and the piece where it did not rain was dried up. So two or three cities staggered to one city in order to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Yahweh. So some people, as I travel, said, hey, I don't see the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit. I don't see it. And you know something? That's trouble. Because if you're not seeing it, it can only really be two things. Either your life is too worldly and you're not coming out of the world, you know, where the rock is not stirring and growing in your life, you know, or you're not asking Yahweh for it. You're not praying for it. Are you praying? You know, I've been telling the brethren, and I'm praying every single day. I was praying for the Shabbat. Every day I'm praying for Yahweh's Spirit to be poured out on His people. So if you're not seeing that outpouring in your life, you have to start to ask, why not? And I've said this before, in my years as a minister, I've seen miraculous healings of people that had a month or two to live that were completely healed. One person got a brand new stomach. I've seen even the dead being raised. People being healed from all kinds of diseases, casting out demons on multiple different occasions. I've seen just about every miracle that's in the Bible. I've seen it. Either I've seen it with my own two eyes, or somebody that I personally know has seen it and been there. So here it is. If you're not seeing any of the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit, you have to start asking yourself, why? Why are you not seeing it? Like it says, why did it rain on one area, it didn't rain on another? And if it's not raining in your life, you have to start wondering, are you exhibiting the nine fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5? Because you need to exhibit that. You need to start at the foundation. You're not going to see these miracles if there's not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control in your life. You have to be exhibiting that. That's Yahweh's, you know, language of agape. That's his Spirit that comes out in that. Jacob 4, verse 3 and 4. Jacob 4, verse 3 and 4 says, you ask and you do not receive because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lust. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Yahweh. So if you can't even give up small electronical devices that you know Satan only made them for to track people for his mark of the beast, if you can't give up Facebook and these other, you know, devices that are only there to track yourself and other people, then how could you ever expect to see the power of Yahweh's rocking your life? So you have to really wonder, you know, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of Yahweh. You must be asking for the rock to fulfill the work of Yahweh, not worldly things. That's what all our prayers and our focus should be on now. It should be the work of Yahweh. And Yahweh gives his rock to those who ask him. So are your prayers asking for it? Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 9. Are you asking Yahweh for this in your life? Luke 11 verse 9 says, and I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone asking receives, and the one seeking finds, and to the one knocking it will be opened. And who among you, if he is a father, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Well, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish. And if he should ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion. And if you, who are evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father from heaven will give the Ruach HaKodesh to those who ask him. So are you asking for that? Are your prayers for just material things? Or are you praying to Yahweh to give his Spirit out? Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where is your treasure? It's a good question. Ask better questions, get better answers. Where is your treasure? Is it in worldly things or is it in the kingdom of Yahweh? Where is your treasure? And I've said this for many, many years. You can know how converted somebody is on how involved they are in the work of Yahweh. Because if you're not involved in the work of Yahweh, what are you doing here? You know, like I said, Yahweh didn't give you salvation for yourself. He gave you that salvation to give to others. That's the way Yahweh's kingdom works. That's the way Yahweh's principle works. You know, and it's a kingdom principle. Everything that we receive, we give back. So you have to ask yourself, where is your treasure in worldly things of the kingdom? Yahweh is now separating the wheat from the chaff. This is the point we're in. The Yahweh is starting to separate the wheat from the chaff. Matthew 3 and verse 8. And this is when John the Baptist came, right? And look what he says. And as the verse 7, I'll start. But seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, offspring of vipers, who has informed you to flee from the wrath to come? So this is what happens, right? As war comes, and we're pretty close to World War III. I mean, we're really getting close to it. And nuclear war. That's when people start getting scared. And they're not coming in repentance. They're not coming to repent and to cry out to Yahweh and ask for forgiveness and change their life and bear fruit. They're coming in fear. They're coming in fear. Look what John the Baptist says. You know, who informed you to flee from the wrath to come? He says, therefore, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. So it's not about fear. Fear is never going to get you anywhere. It's about bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. And do not suppose to say within yourself, we have a father Abraham. For I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. But already the axe is even laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, any tree not bringing forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you in water to repentance, but he who is coming after me is stronger than me, talking about Yeshua, of whom I am not worthy to remove the sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, whose winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will cleanse his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the storehouse, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, the lake of fire. So his winnowing fork, right? The fork that goes in the air, and the wheat goes on one side, and the chaff goes on the other. The wheat goes into the storehouse, and the chaff gets burned. That's the time we're in. Matthew 13 and verse 24. Matthew 13 and verse 24. Look, from Yeshua's own mouth. And he put before them another parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man sowing good seed in the fields. But while the men were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprouted and produced fruit, then the tare also appeared. And coming near, the slaves of the housemaster said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then from where does it have the tares? And he said, a man, an enemy, did this. And the slave said to him, do you desire then going that we should gather them? He said, no, lest gathering the tares, you should uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my granary. So what is he talking about? Very clear, he tells us. Look at verse 36. Then sending away the crowd, Yeshua came into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And answering, he said to him, the one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man, right? So the good seed is the word of Yahweh. And the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the evil one, the sons of the devil. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. Here we are. And the cherubs are the reapers. Then as the tares are gathered and are consumed in the fire, so it will be in the completion of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his cherubs, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. So isn't it kind of ironic that Satan has deceived the whole Christian world into a false rapture that isn't there? And yet the people who are actually taken out are the ones that are going to the lake of fire. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Then the righteous will shine out like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one having ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear? Right? Do you have ears to hear? Yahweh is separating the wheat from the chaff. And like I said, you've got to decide which side you're going to be on. Zechariah 10 and verse 1. Zechariah 10 and verse 1 says, X rain from Yahweh in the time of the latter rain. Are you asking him for it? Yahweh shall make thunderbolts. So he's not just making rain, he's making thunderbolts. It is coming down and it is going to pour. And we're seeing in certain places in the world just amazing floods and rain that's coming down. But this is a spiritual one. This is where his spirit is being poured out. And thunderbolts are coming. And he gives them showers of rain, grass to each man in the field. Drop down to verse 6. And I will make stronger the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. And I will return to save them, for I will pity on them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am Yahweh their Elohim, and I will answer them, the regathering of the tribes again. And Ephraim will be like a mighty one, and their heart will be glad as by wine. And their sons shall see and be glad, their heart shall rejoice in Yahweh. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. And they shall be many as they were many. And I will sow them among the people, and they will remember me in four countries. And they will live with their sons and return. The regathering of the tribes in verse 12. And I will make them strong in Yahweh, and they will walk in his name, says Yahweh. So he will make them strong in the name of Yahweh, which is the foundation, the cornerstone of the restoration work. Because Yahweh says everyone will know it's by him, it's by Yahweh that this is being done. So if someone's not using the restored names of Yahweh and Yeshua, then they're not part of this end time restoration work. Must ask Yahweh for the latter rain. Have you been praying for this? Have you been praying for this? Luke 17 and verse 11. And also, we have to get a spirit of gratefulness in all things, because we are going to go through challenges in this time. Even though the open door is there, and even though Yahweh is blessing his congregation, there's going to be some hard times that are coming, and we want to make sure that we are thankful for everything that Yahweh is doing in our life. Luke 17 and verse 11. And it happened in his going to Jerusalem, even he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entering into a certain village, 10 leprous men met him, who stood from a distance. And they lifted their voice, saying, Yeshua, our master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourself to the priest. And they were cleansed while they were going. But one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, returned and with a loud voice was giving praise to Yahweh. And he fell on his face at his feet, thanking him, thanking Yeshua. And he was a Samaritan. And answering, Yeshua said, Were not the 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Right? Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? For what did they separate that they should come and give praise to Elohim? Only this man did, who was from a foreign people. And he said to him, Rising up, go. Your faith is giving you life. So like I said, can't have 99% faith and 1% fear, because that's 100% fear. You have to have 100% faith in Yahweh. And if you have that, miracles will happen. Your relationship with him will grow. And that's the miracle he's doing. But you have to be grateful for every blessing we receive and even the challenges. And with that spirit of appreciation, that is where Yahweh's blessing is coming on his people. Psalm 135. This is the kind of praise we need every day in our life. It's got to be a perpetual state of praising Yahweh. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Yahweh. Give praise, servants of Yahweh. Those who stand in the house of Yahweh, in the courts of the house of the Elohim. Praise Yahweh, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is delightful. For Yah has chosen Jacob to himself, Israel for his special treasure. For I know that Yahweh is great, and our Adonai is above all Elohim. Everything which Yahweh is pleased to do, he did, in the heavens and in the earth, and in the seas and all deep places. He causes the mist to rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his storehouses. Right? That's what he says. He's not only giving the latter rain, he's given thunderbolts. He's given thunderbolts to his people. Verse 13. Oh Yahweh, your name endures forever. Oh Yahweh, your memorial is from generation to generation, like it says in Exodus 3:15. That is his name forever, and that's the name he wants us to praise him in. Verse 19. Bless Yahweh, O house of Israel. Bless Yahweh, O house of Aaron. Bless Yahweh, O house of Levi. You who fear Yahweh, bless Yahweh. Blessed be Yahweh out of Mount Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Wow. We have to be in a perpetual state of thanksgiving each and every day of our life. Last scripture here is in Acts 4. Acts 4. Because, you know, we have about 30 communities now, and our communities are growing. The people that are living there are growing in maturity, and they're growing in faith. And it's just like it was in the first century. Like I said, everything is coming full circle. Yahweh works in the circular, not the linear. And we're coming in full circle now. The early rain and the latter rain. And we're seeing, just like the early believers were living in community, we're seeing the same today. Acts 4 and verse 29. It says, "And even now, Yahweh, look and see their threats and give to your servants that they be boldly preaching your word while you extend your hand for healings and mighty works and signs to be in the name of your Son, the Holy One, Yeshua." We're seeing those mighty signs. We're seeing the healings. "And they, having prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and spoke the word of Elohim with boldness. The assembly of those men who were believing had but one soul and one mind. And no man among them concerning the possessions that he possessed would say that they were his. Rather, everything that they had was in common." Right? They had one mind, one purpose. What does that mean? That means they had to surrender their will to Yahweh to get this. If you're holding on to your own will and your own purpose and your own way, this will never, ever happen. But we've seen it. I've seen it just at our school that last month. I've seen the spirit that was there. I've seen how the people work together. And I've seen how this is possible. And I see it happening in our communities around the world. "Rather, everything they had was in common. And with great power, the apostles were testifying of the resurrection of the Master Yeshua. And great grace was upon them all." Isn't that powerful? When Yahweh puts His grace on us and His mercy, that even when we make mistakes, His grace covers that. That as we go out and we're preaching His word, and as we go out and we're doing His ministry, and as we go out and we're bearing fruit, that Yahweh's grace is covering all our mistakes we make. "And there was no man among them who was lacking, for those who had possessed fields and houses would sell them and brought the price of whatever was sold. And they laid them at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to each according as any had need. And Yosef, the one surnamed Barnabas by the apostles," which being translated is son of comfort, right? What a great title that is. "A Levite, a Cypriot by race, a field being his, selling it, he brought the proceeds and placed them at the feet of the apostles." Wow. So here we see the powerful works that were being done in this day. We have to be fully unified and humble, surrendering ourselves for the outpouring to come. And it's already started. Like I said, if you're not seeing it, you're not receiving it. You have to start asking why. We've been living in community now for more than 10 years. And it isn't perfect. I'll say that. We have our troubles like anything else. We're human beings. But by the Spirit of Yahweh, our congregation has grown in leaps and bounds over the last 10 years. I believe we are ready now to go to a new level of surrender and love toward Yahweh as His kingdom draws closer and closer. And this is why the ones that are being left behind, the chaff that Yahweh has taken, doesn't mean anything anymore. The things that people say and the nonsense they come up with, it's all nonsense. But in the congregation is growing and being stronger, and we see the proof of it. We see the proof by the love and the concern that the brethren have. I believe when we started these communities more than 10 years ago, that many followed community living to be unified and supportive. But now they've changed people and they're different as they continue to live in unity and accord with the brethren. They are happy and convicted and they're seeing that it works and more people want to be part of the community. But there still is a great work yet to be done. The time is short. We have to be fully immersed in the work of Yahweh, faithful servants doing our Master's will. The second Shavuot and the outpouring of the Ruach is here. It's already begun. The question is, are you a part of it? So I pray that you are. I pray you're praying for Yahweh's Spirit to be poured out. And I pray that you will bear fruit and take advantage of this wonderful open door that Yahweh's put before us. So, Chag Sameach, and Shabbat Shalom.